All right, take your Bibles and let's turn, please, to James. And we're going to be in chapter 1. And Lord willing, we'll finish the chapter tonight and move on to chapter number 2 in the next week. As we look at this message, remember, this is a continuation of something I began last week. So I'm going to go back to verse 18 in review, but we won't take all night reviewing. We've already seen in verse 18a that God uses the scriptures to bring about the salvation of Jewish believers. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. In verse 18b, we have already seen that the salvation of the Jewish believers serves as a promise that many more people will eventually be saved, whether Jews or Gentiles, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Creatures means creations. In addition, in verses 19 through 20, we've already seen that every believer should be careful how he lives. He should be characterized by a swiftness to listen as well as a slowness to speak or to become angry, because man's wrath does not produce God's righteousness. Verses 19 and 20 read, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Furthermore, in verse 21, we've already seen that believers should get rid of sin in their lives and receive the word of God with humility, because it is able to save their souls from sin and from sin's consequences, and also to give them victory in their Christian lives. "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." Moreover, in verse 22, we've already seen that it is not enough just to hear the word of God. It must also be practiced. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And this is where we begin tonight's message. We had not gotten any farther than this last week. And I guess it was 2 weeks ago, because we ate some pie instead of eating this last week and had a devotional for a few minutes rather than going through James. The pie was good, by the way. Maybe we should try that again sometime, all right? I kind of enjoyed it. As we continue in verses 23 and 24, we see that one who hears but does not practice the word of God will be like someone who looks at himself in a mirror, goes away, and forgets what he looked like. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." In verses 23 through 24, James describes what a person is like who hears the word of God but does not practice it. The structure of verse 23 is that of a conditional statement. The structure it's condition is, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer," and its conclusion is, "He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." The structure of this condition in the Greek text indicates that for sake of discussion, it is assumed to be true. "For" is a word ordinarily translated "because," and that's the sense in which we should understand it here as well. Inasmuch as it is not clear whether the condition is actually true for a particular individual, "if" should be understood in the sense of assuming that. For some people it will be true, But for others, it will be false or not true. A hearer of the word is one who only listens to the word. This person is not a doer, which means that he does not put the word of God into practice. He is this one and refers to the one who is a hearer of the word, but not a doer. Is like unto a man suggests resembles a man, where the term for man is the term for an adult male. Of course, what is stated as being true of a man would also be true of a female or a child. Beholding describes this man and means looking at with reflection, considering or contemplating, and what he's looking at is his natural face, which is literally the face of his birth. Although some have modified the original designs of their faces, most people still have the same face they had at birth. I thought of showing you, just standing up here, and showing you a picture of one of my baby pictures and holding it next to my face and see how cute I still am, right? I decided against that. That picture showed up on our wall over here back to when I had a birthday. And I know how it got there. One of the ladies got into contact with my daughter-in-law, and she went over to my house and got on my computer and printed it and emailed it, I guess. Anyway, it was fun to see that. Somehow, though it seems to me that that's what the Greek text says, I'm not sure that's what it looks like to me. And it's just so that you understand, I'm not sure about that. In a glass. Drinking glass? No. Glass is a mirror. Okay. In a mirror. The picture is of a man looking into the scriptures. Some will pay attention to what the scriptures say. Will pay no attention to what the scriptures say and will not profit from them. First of all, they probably won't even look into them. Whereas others will pay attention to them and bring their lives into conformity with what God wants them to be. And that's what we need to do. As we look at the scriptures and we see what God wants us to be, let's move in that direction and be as close to that as we possibly can be. The scriptures are not only described by James as a mirror into which a believer looks while comparing his own life with what God expects of him in this verse, but also as the word of truth in verse 18, as the engrafted word in verse 21, as the perfect law of liberty in verse 25, as teaching the royal law in James 2:8, and as the law of liberty in 2:12, which produces true freedom. He has a lot to say about the word of God. It's interesting that when this was written, there was no New Testament. This is the first book in the New Testament, but its truth is still what he has written. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. In the phrase, he beholdeth himself, he is the one who's gazing at his face in a mirror. Beholdeth is the same word used in verse 23, but with a different tense. Here, it contemplates its action as a single event, regardless of how long he might stare into the mirror, and it's understood in the sense of he beheld, he looked at with reflection, he considered, he contemplated, or he looked at. In case you didn't realize it, I stated it in a past tense because it is actually a past tense translated as a present tense. Why? Its intent is to produce a dramatic effect in order to state a present situation with the definiteness of something which has occurred in the past. And this is something that is done in more places than right here in James for emphasis. He takes a look at himself and continues the description of what this man who hears the word of God but does not practice it is like. He goeth his way is simply went or has gone away. Again, past tense, translated as a present for emphasis. Straightway is immediately. What manner of man he was would be of what sort he was. Forgetteth is forgot. Once again, for dramatic purposes, a present reality has been stated with the certainty of a past event. And what he forgets is what manner of man he was, what sort he was. As silly as it may seem, he cannot even remember what he looked like. Its tense implies the suddenness of the action of forgetteth. I remember when I was in high school, I know it's been several years, but it just goes to show that I still have a pretty good memory. Consider the person who sees a picture of himself and then exclaims to others that it's a bad picture which does not look anything like him. I remember having fellow students say that, particularly the girls. It doesn't look anything like me. Well, it looked just like her to me. Amazing. I guess she thought she looked better than I thought she looked. Anyway. Unfortunately, it often does look just like that person. I didn't say she this time. He just cannot or chooses not to remember what he looks like, but looks like him to everybody else. There is one exception to that. It may be the picture on your driver's license, okay? They're not very flattering, are they? Especially the ones that they've taken of me. I know I look better than that. And this last time they made me take my glasses off so they could see what I look like without my glasses being in the way. And I almost have to apologize for it every time I have to show it. I said, it is me, whether it looks like me or not. There I go. I forget what manner of man I am. All right. Now, we go on into verse 25. We see that one who looks into the word of God and practices it will be blessed. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the scriptures, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Whereas in verses 23 and 24, the individual pays little attention to what he sees in the mirror and soon forgets what he saw, this individual in verse 25 looks into the mirror of the Word of God, pays attention to what he sees, and begins to practice it. That's what needs to describe what we do. We look into the Word of God, and we try to put it into practice in our lives. Whoso looketh is the one who looked, or the one who has looked into. Again, it's stating that this individual looked into the perfect law of liberty at some time in the past. It's another use of a verb in the past tense in the Greek text stating a present situation with the definiteness of something which has occurred in the past, and it is used for emphasis. Looketh literally means to bend over for the purpose of looking with a focus on satisfying one's curiosity, and suggests takes or has taken a look at, has gazed at, gazed carefully at, peered into, or something similar. Here it is used figuratively in the sense of looking into something. And what this person has looked into or is looking into is the perfect law of liberty, which refers to the scriptures. It is literally a perfect law, the one of liberty. By perfect, James means that it has attained the highest standard. In verse 4, he mentioned perfect work. In verse 17, perfect gift. And here he mentions perfect law. The law is perfect in contrast to the Mosaic law, in that it will accomplish what the Mosaic law could not accomplish. The Mosaic law was intended to show people their sin, which it did, but it was powerless to help them obey it. A law is a procedure or a practice that has taken hold in the sense of a custom, a rule, a principle, or a norm. Paul is speaking of serving the law of God with his mind and of serving the law of sin with his flesh in Romans 7:25, which says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I serve the law of God, meaning I serve God himself. But with the flesh, meaning with the old sin nature, the law of sin, which is sin itself. Paul also speaks of the law of liberty, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death in Romans 8:2, which says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Paul also speaks of the law of Christ in Galatians 6:2, which says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Paul speaks of the law of faith in Romans 3:27, whereas boasting then it's excluded by what law? Nay, not by works, but by the law of faith. James speaks of the royal law according to the scriptures in James 2:8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ye do well. He also speaks of the law of liberty in James 2:12, where he writes, so speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Back to James 1:25 here, he speaks of the perfect law of liberty. Whereas law is used in this verse in a general sense, James makes it specific by of liberty. It is the law of liberty, the law or principle which gives liberty or which gives freedom. Liberty speaks of the state of being free. By the law of liberty, James means the scriptures, which are not only described by James as the perfect law of liberty in this verse, but also as the word of truth in verse 18, the engrafted word in verse 21, as a mirror into which a believer looks while comparing his own life with what God expects of him in verse 23, as the royal law in 2:8, and as the law of liberty in 2:12, which produces true freedom. He looks into the perfect law of liberty and connects looketh with continueth, as is true with looketh. Continueth has taken place in the past and is understood as the one who continued or who has continued. Continueth is another example of a verb in a past tense being used in a dramatic way to state something as a present situation with the definiteness of a past event. You consider some of the colloquial expressions that people use in conversation, and they use the same tactic. They talk about something in the past, but they give it a present tense. I've heard this many times. I'm sure you have too, but never gave much thought to it because we're used to it. It's something that is not uncommon at all in our English language. Therein suggests in it, meaning in the perfect law of liberty. And if you'll notice, it's in italics, which means that it has been supplied by the translators to show that in the perfect law of liberty is understood not only with looketh, but also with continueth. So it goes with both verbs, looketh and continueth. He being not a forgetful hearer, where he is this one or this person or this one not having been a forgetful hearer, being and looketh, like looketh and continueth, is also an indication of an event which took place in the past. Understood in the sense of having been or having become, indicating that a change has taken place. Likewise translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. This person is not a forgetful hearer. It means that he remembers what he's heard. A forgetful hearer is a hearer of forgetfulness, or a hearer characterized by forgetfulness. Bud is introducing a statement in strong contrast between a forgetful hearer and a doer of the work. He has been a doer of the work, literally a doer of work. A doer is one who does something by work. James means he does what the perfect law of liberty, meaning the scripture, says. He does what he's supposed to do as a believer. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Where this man is this one or this person, and it's not limited to adult males. The same thing would be true of a female or a younger person. Beginning at some point in time, this person's past is characterized by having looked into the perfect liberty, by having continued in the perfect law of liberty, by having not forgotten what the perfect law of liberty says, but having done what the perfect law of liberty says to do. It speaks of a lifestyle which consistently does what the scriptures say rather than merely hearing what the scriptures say without practicing it. And that's what we need to have, a lifestyle that studies the scriptures, contemplates how this should change my life, and goes out and habitually does what the scriptures tell me I'm supposed to do. Unfortunately, we still have an old sin nature, don't we? It gets in the way a lot of times. In fact, it probably got in your way two or three times today. Gets in my way all the time, too. This is the man who shall be blessed in his deed, the one who in his lifestyle consistently does what the scriptures say. Do you want to have God's blessing on your life? Here's a way you can get it. You can have God's blessing on your life by consistently practicing what you have studied in the Word of God, so that you should be able to say, I am a blessed individual. Shall be blessed is predictive of something which is definitely going to happen in the future. It speaks of his having, or of his being a privileged recipient of divine favor or grace. God is going to bless him. I know you want God's blessing on your life, but I also know you can have it if you want it badly enough. Study the Bible, put it into practice in your life, and you will be blessed. So when somebody says to you, how are you? You can tell them, I'm blessed. In his deed, he's blessed in his doing. His deed is the process of his activity. So if someone desires to be blessed by God, he needs to put the scriptures into practice in his daily life, and he will experience God's blessing. You know, this isn't something that's new in James. This is also exactly what God told Joshua to do as he was assuming the leadership of Israel following Moses' death. Can you imagine taking the lead over and responsibility over 2.5 million grumbling people? You think it's hard to pastor a church of 100 people or so with a few grumblers. We don't have any of them around here. I'm talking about other churches, you know. I don't talk about this church. Can you imagine what poor Moses and Joshua went through? Well, yes, you can. This book of the law, Joshua 1:8, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Likewise, the book of Psalms begins with Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, you might ask yourself, why is this so? He is the one who will be blessed because the Holy Spirit has made him more and more like the Lord Jesus as the result of his looking into the perfect law of liberty and continuing in it. You may not have understood 2 Corinthians 3:18, but it states this truth. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass or mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, from one degree of glory to another degree of glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And it means this. As you or I study the Word of God, looking into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scriptures, God the Holy Spirit will make us more and more Christ-like. The more we do it, the more Christ-like we will become sooner. I urge you, spend good time studying God's Word. It will make a man or lady of God out of you. Finally, as we move into verses 26 and 27, we see that pure religion is illustrated by one who practices the Word of God and keeps out of sin. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. In verse 26, James is applying what he has said in verses 22 and 25 to a specific situation in which someone does not control his tongue. Unfortunately, it demonstrates in this verse that he's not yet been genuinely saved. The structure of verse 26 is that of a conditional statement in which, for sake of discussion, the condition is assumed to be true. The condition is, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. That's the condition. The conclusion is, this man's religion is vain. If the condition is true, the conclusion will also be true. If, however, the condition is false, the conclusion will likewise be false, inasmuch as it is not known whether a particular individual, for a particular individual, this condition is true, or whether it's false, if should be understood in the sense of assuming that. The condition will be true of some, but it will not be true of others. Any man is simply anyone, anybody someone or somebody, and it's not limited to adult males among you, suggests where these people are. It suggests within the group of Jews in the dispersion professing salvation. But doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out it's generally true of professing believers everywhere. Seem is used of subjective opinion and suggests, considers as probable, thinks, believes, supposes, or considers, and its tense is descriptive of what this person is presently thinking. He believes himself to be religious, which suggests that he thinks he's all right spiritually, and bridleth not his tongue. It suggests that he does not guide with a bit and bridle, or does not hold his tongue in check. In other words, his tongue keeps going even when his mind is disengaged. What he does not bridle or hold in check is his tongue, the member of his mouth he uses in forming words. It suggests that he does not control his tongue and is therefore not careful in what he says. Now, we can all use our tongues inappropriately. We need to be very careful that what comes out of our mouth is wholesome. Where does what comes out of a person's mouth come from? It's his heart. It tells you what he's like. You want to know what somebody's like? Listen to him talk when he doesn't know you're listening. I can't do that when he knows I'm listening, because he knows I'm a preacher and he cleans up his act for my benefit. You probably have the same experience. I've told you before, there was one man who ran a hardware store in the town where I pastored for 21 years, and every time I'd walk in the door, he'd shout out to his employees, "Watch out, he's here. Watch your language." Well, I was glad they watched their language. I didn't want to hear the garbage coming out of their mouths. But when they didn't know who I was, I heard the garbage told me something about them. They might put on an act for a while, but usually you figure it out, don't you? Sure you do. You're smart, able to handle that. It's not rocket science. This man's religion is vain. Oops, I skipped a paragraph. I shouldn't do things like that, but my eyeballs didn't land in the right spot when I looked at the text that I have right in front of my nose. Maybe my nose got in my way. All right. But introduces a statement in strong contrast to his not bridling his tongue. He deceiveth his own heart when he thinks, supposes, believes, or considers that he is religious. Deceiveth suggests, deceives, cheats, or misleads. And what he's misleading or deceiving is his own heart, meaning his heart. Heart is used as a part of a person to represent the whole person himself. He's deceiving himself, and he's doing this deep within himself. His refers to the one who seems to be religious but fails to hold his tongue in check. This man's religion is vain. This man's is this one's, or this person's, and it's not limited to adult males. And religion is worship. It means this person's worship is worthless. Vain describes religion and means idle, empty, fruitless, useless, powerless, or lacking truth. It's absolutely worthless. A religion which does not provide victory over the tongue is not worth pursuing. As we move into verse 27, we see pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. It's interesting, as I read in the New Testament, the descriptions of what believers are to be like is not necessarily the same as the descriptions of what I hear preachers saying. Interesting. I wonder why. Maybe some preachers ought to read a little closer to what they are preaching. Be careful. Go with the scriptures. Any preacher can make a mistake. Some make more than others. We don't want to do that. We want to be forthright with what the Bible says and base our beliefs and practices on what it says, not what Dr. So-and-so thinks, whoever he is. In verse 27, James describes what one will see in his own life as a result of being genuinely saved. It provides him with a religion which works in that it changes his life with the result that he looks out for those in need. Pure religion and undefiled speaks of a religion or worship which is both morally and spiritually responsible. And it speaks of this behavior as a result of his salvation. Pure suggests clean. Undefiled suggests pure. Before God and the Father is before God, the God and Father, a reference to God the Father, who knows all and sees all. This is pure and undefiled in God's view. It introduces a timeless truth, something which is true at all times under all circumstance. And this indicates what pure and undefiled religion before God is, and its content is the rest of this verse. To visit is understood in the sense of to go and see or to look after. To look after the fatherless and widows is to look after orphaned ones. Those would be orphans who have been deprived of their parents. And also looking after women deprived of their husbands. In that particular society, a wife whose husband died might not be much better off than a slave. They didn't have social insecurity. They didn't have retirement programs. And if the family didn't look after the poor widow, she would become a beggar. We're not in that situation in our country. Our widows are fairly well taken care of in our country by various things. But they couldn't go out typically and get jobs. You know, the local factories weren't hiring at that time. In their affliction, where there refers to the orphans and widows, and where affliction is trouble that inflicts distress or oppression or tribulation. It's used here in the sense of in their difficult circumstances. And to keep suggests keeping unharmed and undisturbed, and the one he keeps is himself. And the way he keeps himself is unspotted from the world. Unspotted means without blemish. From the world suggests that the world system headed up by Satan will spot or stain the believers, and that they need to be separated from the world so that they do not become like the world. Remember what Paul wrote in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's interesting. Pure religion and undefiled looks after those in need and also keeps himself unspotted from the world. To draw this to a close, we want to say the scriptures will make a man or lady of God out of you. So study them diligently and put them into practice in your life. Let the scriptures accomplish the purpose in your life for which God has given them. Let's have prayer. And after we've had prayer, we'll have Jess come and take care of our prayer requests. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to study this portion of thy word. Help us as individuals to be studying it diligently and to be putting it into practice in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.